DailyRile.com's official podcast. I'm Dan Kelch, managing editor for the site, and I'm here with Ryan Garish, a production assistant at DreamWorks Animation. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, Dan.
So, what do you do at DreamWorks Animation exactly?
I'm a production assistant, so I work in visual development department. So I work with modeling, servicing, and obviously visual development, painters, that kind of thing. I'm basically the art librarian, so I archive a lot of the artwork. I take notes at all the meetings. I basically just help any production or any art staff do what they need to do.
So you're right in the thick of things, really.
Basically, yeah.
Very interesting. So how did you get the job exactly?
It's not sexy. I had a friend who worked at DreamWorks as a production assistant, and she gave me the email address for the HR person, and then I emailed her my cover letter and resume, and then 2 or 3 months later, they gave me a call, and I had a few interviews, and then fortunately, I wound up getting a job.
You're right, it's not sexy. So how do you like working there?
It's also cliche, but it's really amazing working there. Like, it's really fun to be around people who have fun working at their jobs all day. DreamWorks is a company that's really proactive about the workplace. Like, they want you to work there, so they feed you twice a day. They have guest speakers, they show movies, so it's a really fun atmosphere.
Yeah, the thing that interests me the most was the food, the 2 meals a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could get used to that.
Yeah.
All right, and so the current movie that you guys have, which comes out this weekend, I believe, is Monsters vs. Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I imagine since you have worked there, you've seen it already.
Yeah, they gave us a crew screening in 3D. Pretty cool. Should I just like jump in here?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I want to know, 3D technology, I have not actually seen any movies in the new 3D. What do you think of this new 3D?
It's really high quality stuff. It's not the cheesy blue and red glasses you used to wear. It's really high quality stuff, and it's not. it doesn't get in the way of the movie going experience, which I think is the most crucial point. Like, after you've been watching the movie for a while, it just aids your visual experience. It's not like, whoa, coming at you. You know, yeah. Nobody's accidentally swinging 2x4s at the front of the screen. Nobody's twisting ladders around. Right. Right, so it's done in a very not gimmicky way, and I think that's really the strength of it. So it's pretty cool.
That's good. So you think it does really enhance the watching it?
I think it definitely does. In CG, also, I think it really does movies like Coraline. Mm-hmm. The difference being, Coraline was actually a physical set, so you really get that space,
right.
That separation from foreground to background. So I really do think it helps out.
Hmm. All right, so what do you think? What did you think about Monsters vs. Aliens overall?
It's definitely fun. You're going to get your money's worth if you pay to go see this movie. You're definitely going to get a lot of Monsters vs. Aliens, that sci-fi genre. You're going to get your fill. No boom mics, nothing terribly distracting from the movie. But I do think one of the things I didn't like about it most was probably the main character. I think that her arc wasn't pushed nearly far enough, and they really could have done something great with that. Also, actually, surprisingly, really gritty crisis choice
Wow.
that the main character makes, which they could have pushed a lot further. Definitely some missed opportunities, but it's a really fun movie, so I definitely recommend it.
Now, were you involved in anything in the before this movie came out? Were you actually involved with the film at all?
No, I was basically hired after they had completed most of the film.
Okay. So what are you working on right now there?
I'm working on Kung Fu Panda 2, which is scheduled to release in 2011.
Very nice. And after that, you'll be out of a job.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, and along those same lines, so what are some upcoming films coming from DreamWorks Animation?
Check my legally able to talk about list here. Okay, so as most of you probably know, we're coming out with Shrek 4. Mm-hmm. That's just going to be more Shrek, more good times. But the ones I'm really excited about are How to Train Your Dragon, which is produced by Bonnie Arnold, and she also produced Toy Story and Over the Hedge, which I think is one of the funniest DreamWorks animation movies. That we've made, and it's going to be sort of darker, which I always am a fan of, like not as much a cookie cutter as some of these other ones. And also Crude Awakening, which is directed by Chris Sanders. He's worked on Lilo and Stitch, Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, like totally legit. And it's also a genre that we really haven't explored before in CG, which is like prehistoric caveman time, so it's going to be pretty interesting.
There's been so much CG nowadays, you have to really expand it.
Right, you got to keep pushing where nobody's pushed, so it's definitely going to be interesting.
Definitely. And so, have there been Shrek any spinoffs or anything? I know Ryan from our forums was asking about that.
As far as like more sequels or
like based around other characters, I know I've heard something about, I think Puss in Boots.
Yeah, Puss in Boots has been talked about of they're probably going to develop it into a feature film. And we've been doing like TV specials. Like we just had Shrek the Halls that they came out. So sort of that stuff. But
is there gonna be a gingerbread movie?
I couldn't rule it out. Couldn't rule
not
it out.
Not my gumdrop buttons.
For sure. All
right. And so one of the questions that from our forums, I can never say his name, Ryuji Shiki.
Yeah, you butchered that.
I know. He wants to know how hard is it to keep information secret from movies?
I mean, basically everybody has to sign a contract when they get hired saying, I understand what I can and cannot talk about. Honestly, it's really clear what you are and are not able to talk about. You know, you can see what, you know, Jeffrey Katzenberg has said is coming out and you can go to IMDb and see our slate of films.
Right.
You know what I mean? But honestly, I think it's probably better for a movie when stuff gets leaked because that, you know, gets people psyched about it. So. Right.
I imagine with certain other films, it's more of a problem, whereas your guys' films haven't really, I don't think it's been too big of a deal.
No, in fact, I got hired after they had already announced Kung Fu Panda 2 was coming out. So fortunately, when I say, I got a job at DreamWorks, I could actually tell people what I was going to be working on.
Right.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
People wouldn't believe you otherwise.
Right, right.
And so, kind of go back a little bit in your job, what is something that you really... you know, give us an example of something that you've done that's been really cool. Like you went there and like, man, I can't believe I'm doing this.
It's not sexy again, but I think it's really cool that I get to be involved in pretty much every meeting we have that involves visual development. Whether that's you know, artists who are digitally painting stuff, or whether that's storyboards that we're gonna see. Like a really cool thing we had was we have multiple screens of the movie in storyboard form, and then we get notes from Jeffrey Katzenberg and other people about how to review it. So I think that's one of the coolest things is you get to see the entire movie and how it gets to evolve. And they're really proactive about it. Like they ask everybody to submit their ideas and stuff after they do a screening. So
that's good.
It's very hands-on.
You're not just a drone.
Right, exactly.
And so I actually had read it finally today, even though it came out yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. There was an article about 3D movies and about the future of movies. And where they're, you know, whether 3D is really the way it's going to be, or if it's just going to be another fad like it used to be in the
50s. Right, right.
So since you know you guys have been doing 3D, and I think you guys have even said that all your movies are going to be 3D now.
Yeah.
So you know, what do you think about this?
I think it's a good thing. I think it's gives people more incentive to go to the theaters. You know, and when you can just rent a movie, you know, on you know through Netflix or whatever, and just watch it at home. I think you really have to push the theater movie going experience. And I think 3D is something that really does that. Especially when you do it, you know, cleanly and professionally like DreamWorks is going to do. It's going to be a really enjoyable experience. I think it's worth, you know, the extra money. I know it may not be frangible now because nothing is because, you know, of the economy, but I think eventually it's really going to pay, you know, it's really going to pay off.
Do you think it's a long-term solution, not just a fad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a long-term thing. But, I mean, also, like, these movies are not only available in 3D. Like, right. Obviously, some movie theaters have capabilities, some don't, and we don't want to exclude movie theaters who don't have that 3D capability from playing one of our films, so they're going to be available as that way, too. Like, it's not 3D or nothing. Like, you'll be able to see Monsters vs. Aliens, you know, at theaters near you, regardless of,
right.
You know,
whether and that's important, that. Obviously.
It's very important.
And I think with 3D movies, it has to be the kind of movie that lends itself to 3D.
Exactly, and that's something that we've been talking about in Kung Fu Panda 2 as well, like how, you know, it's a new way of thinking because now you're thinking in three or four dimensions, however you want to put it. It's not just a flat screen anymore. You know, you kind of have to interact with the audience more. So that's definitely something we have to talk about.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see Schindler's List in 3D.
Exactly. Exactly. The film. You can't just throw a 3D on it.
Right.
You know, it has to incorporate itself into that.
Yeah, and I think most animation movies tend to lend themselves to it. I imagine it's probably pretty easy to do compared to...
Yeah, it's not that big of a jump.
Yeah.
You know, even 2D stuff, you know, you can still get that separation from 3D because it's just all in layers. So
yeah, definitely. I think it's the way to go. And they've been saying a lot about how it's a lot better. And I think Hollywood was looking to do an actual package, like a stimulus package, if you will, to theaters to help them switch to digital projectors because a lot of them aren't using digital yet. And so by helping them do that, all they have to do is pay that difference to do it 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
And so. Because that's been the big problem is getting 3D theaters.
Yeah.
And so once they do that, I imagine then it'll definitely be, you know, that's where the money's going
to
be.
Because then they'll have no choice to pay, you know, $12 for a ticket. But, I mean, I figure that's what you're paying anyway to a lot of theaters. So why not
see 3D? They were saying the average was $3.18 was the average, upscale in the pricing. So
yeah,
it's not that much when you're already paying $11.
And you're gonna pay so much more for concessions anyway. Like, just don't get the bathtub sized popcorn and just see the movie in 3D. Like,
it won't be that much worth it. I think Katzenberg was actually saying that he was hoping it'd be around $5. Mm-hmm. So they, most movies have been keeping it lower, probably because of the economy.
You're right. Right.
So I imagine maybe if we get out of this, maybe they'll start raising the prices a little more. But
maybe
it'd probably still be worth it either way.
Yeah, I definitely think this is going to be much less of an issue if we were on better economic standing. Like, people will be totally psyched about 3D. But all right now, a lot of people are just worried about ticket prices. Oh no.
Yeah. You know. I know, my $7 popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Just sneak your food in. That's all. Mm-hmm. All right, and so since we are a viral site, I wanted to get your opinion on viral campaigning in general. What do you think of it?
I think it's a really unique way of marketing a movie or video game or whatever, really. But using internet users as a base and not neglecting their presence, I think is really advantageous to marketing. I think that Cloverfield did a great job,
right?
Like, and that's definitely something that lended itself to that kind of viral stuff. And I think that if you have a movie or just basically an idea that can lend itself to viral campaign, I think it's definitely something worth doing, because you just, the more people you can get involved, the more excited people are going to be about it. So I think it's definitely worthwhile if the idea lends itself to that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's going to be a whole bunch of viral for Kung Fu Panda 2, because I don't think they had internet back then. But
yeah, they I think that's a key too. It's just like 3D, where it has to be the right kind of film.
Right.
You can't just throw it at everything.
Exactly. You can't just throw that stuff. Unless, it's just going to get trivialized then.
Yeah, exactly. It has to be something where it's meaningful viral.
Exactly.
In my opinion, I think that's where, Cloverfield, although a lot of stuff wasn't necessarily in the film.
Yeah.
It was backstory.
Exactly.
I think that's where you really can get, and it can actually help you tell stories.
Yeah.
By let's get rid of all that backstory. Let's deal with it now. And then when the movie comes out, we get right into the action.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what Cloverfield was. I mean, it's kind of like, you get a little bit of that intro with the party, but then, within 20 minutes, boom, monster, and let's just go.
Yeah, I think it really contributed to that. Also, the film should be able to stand independent from its viral stuff. But
that's very important.
I think as a bonus, like, that stuff can be really great for the film.
Yeah, and it gets people really involved in the film.
It does. Too. It does. It gets them personally invested. That's
important. Have you ever followed any viral yourself?
No, I'm not. But I mean, that's not saying I don't like viral or any of that. Like, I'm just not a very technologically savvy guy. Like, I don't even have cable, so.
Yeah, you finally just got a Facebook
a
month ago.
Yeah, I know. So the answer is no, but, don't put too much weight into that.
Yeah. And so, do you know if DreamWorks Animation is planning on doing any kind of viral anytime?
I don't, and that's a good question. I could find out, but I don't know of any viral.
Yeah. I know you guys haven't done it before, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's an area we've yet to explore, I think.
You should bring that up. Should bring that up. I mean, obviously, again, the film is what's important. We're talking about kids' films, maybe not so much.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's
your area, but
that's a general problem that we're probably going to have. Also, time frame, if your film is heavily slated, in past times, like a lot of ours are, or fantasy, a lot of viral stuff just doesn't apply.
Yeah, you can't do like a fake website for a company in Kung Fu Panda. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, just won't work.
Yeah, you're right. So that's really where it's really
comes
into play.
Again, keep going back to Cloverfield, but this is something that took a part in present day and also, used a lot of technology in the film.
Right.
Even got that handheld feel. So again, it was appropriate for their reuse of viral.
Yeah. And most of the films, all the ones that we're covering now, they're all either, modern day or just a little bit in the future.
Yeah.
Like Terminator's a little bit in the future.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so, I mean, you're right. It really has to lend itself to that.
Although thinking back on it, they probably could have done some for Monsters vs. Aliens.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's a present-day thing. You got lots of military, government, conspiracy stuff going on.
So probably could have done that.
Maybe.
Could have been fun.
Yeah.
I think you probably do. When you're doing that, too, I mean, we say viral in general has to be the right kind of movie, but it also has to be the right kind of viral.
Yes.
So if you are doing a little bit more kids' film, then maybe you could do a viral where they're playing games online.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. It doesn't have... Yeah, both sides have to cater to the audience.
Yeah, so there's definitely some potential there, and if you guys do that, I should get some bank from that.
For sure.
Since I gave you the idea. All right, and so Great Scott from the forum says, from your personal opinion, although I know you don't follow viral that much, when do you think that someone should start doing a viral campaign? When's it too early, when's it too late?
Oh, that's really interesting. There's pitfalls to both. If you do it too late, then obviously you're not going to get a very big audience. If you do it too early, people could run out of steam. So I really think it depends on what kind of production you have going and how honestly you're going to stick to your release date, you know, it's going to be really important. So
that's true. That's a good point.
I think this is uncharted waters for a lot of productions. So, and I don't think we have really great base of films that have done this to get a feel for it yet. So I guess that we won't know the answer to that question for a while.
Yeah. This is all kind of like the test market.
Yeah. Yeah.
To figure that out. Cause one of the interesting things that Arsay originally started out as following just District 9, a movie that comes out in August, and they have this crazy amount of virals, several different sites, really intricate, but they didn't update anything like after August.
Yeah.
And then now finally in February, at the end of February, I think they finally started doing updates. And it was so random just to have that big, a lot of people had forgotten about it. And it's just like, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I worry about how that, what kind of impact that has on people. Because there are some people that were on or followed on our site where they were there, you know, really early. They were there in August. They were there in July. And then, you know, now they're not there anymore because like, oh, there hasn't been any updates.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think that's especially crucial if when you're doing viral and you're on the internet and it's in this age of constantly updating, you know, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, definitely. You have the capability. It's not that hard nowadays.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You should post something every once in a while.
Yeah. Just create a MySpace.
That's what they're saying. Something, yeah.
All right. And so some questions about you I have here. So what are some things you've done that that you want to talk about maybe?
Like as far as personal projects and stuff going on. Well, me and you are trying to get some scripts done. You know, going back and forth. You have Dead West, and I have this dead horse that's called Stillwater that I want to go back and try to fix some more now that I think I've been out of the bubble and can look at it and see how bad it was.
Yeah, sometimes go back and fix it. Sometimes you have to step away from your from what you're doing and start then look at it from fresh eyes again.
Right.
And I think of Stillwater, you know, we had an original idea that was really interesting where it's basically a werewolf movie that's a film noir.
Right.
And
right.
I think that we kind of went away from that.
Yeah.
And that caused us a lot of problems. And now we can look at it fresh and be like, okay, we can do it. Right. Much simpler story, I think.
Yeah.
And that's always the solution, I think, is a much simpler story.
Yeah. Yeah. Much simpler, clear story is always going to be a winner. Mm.
And you also had the one script that we worked on together.
The current. The current, which I mean, I'd still like to go back and clean that up a bit. You know, I've asked a few other people to look at that too.
Yeah. You submitted that to a film. Yeah. What was it called?
I forget the name of the contest we entered into, but we didn't win. I think that there was
it was rigged.
a lot of inside stuff going on there.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was an interesting story though that it was about a soldier who basically has a switch turn off, like all the soldiers don't have emotions, right. and then all of a sudden he gets his emotions switched on.
You have to learn how to deal with that,
right? And then you know, fighting the system a little bit and
right,
all that stuff.
Just a basic question of, you know, what makes you human, which, you know, has been done before,
right?
Short circuit, et cetera, et cetera. Universal soldier, you know.
But yeah, but it's always about doing it the right way.
Exactly.
It's execution.
Exactly. Right.
Execution.
Right. It's not about getting an original idea. It's how do you make something fresh again?
Exactly. You know, so nowadays, especially, I mean, everything's already been done. Now it's just about doing it interesting.
Exactly. Exactly.
And obviously, you're an artist, so I know you have a lot of work. Is there a place where people will be able to see your work?
Yeah. I have a blog where I post my drawings and paintings on. It's ryangarish.blogspot.com. So you guys can check that out. If you want to see some cool stuff.
Some crappy stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's actually really good. I know you've worked a little bit with you've done some things for like the Titan magazine. I submitted
some stuff to the Titan Tusk. I've also done some work for like logo and design work for President Scholars and been involved in various Cal State Fullerton stuff. But
yeah, so that's always good to get involved.
But I post the exciting stuff on my blog.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good to get involved with you know, find opportunities with you know, your school.
Yeah,
You know, wherever you are, there's always opportunities to show yourself. I know there's a couple people on our forums that do some really cool graphic arts.
Yeah,
and so that's why they're interested in a podcast like this.
Definitely.
So that's kind of thing. I know one thing that I was trying to push you to do for a while was Cafe 22 Tango.
This place near us. And put my paintings in there.
Yeah, but they have stuff up there. But they have paintings and drawings all over the place, and half of them are complete crap.
Oh yeah, and there's really no excuse for me to have not have just done something like that. But my excuses are that I usually don't work that big and in that medium.
Oh yeah, they're pretty big pictures.
Yeah, and a lot of the subject matter too is just you don't want to see while you're eating. So
yeah, you did some pretty gruesome stuff.
Yeah, so go see all the monsters versus aliens on the blog. Yeah.
All right, so that's pretty much all.
That about wraps it up. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for being on my podcast.
No problem.
more podcasts, go to movieviral.com, your number one source for movie viral news.